to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. Hey, I hope you're having a good morning today. I know it's a beautiful day up here where I am in Dallas-Fort Worth. It's going to be another scorcher getting up into the hundreds. I've taken to riding my bike lately. I waited until about a week ago to dust that thing off and get going again. Why did I wait till it was 100 degrees out? I have no idea, but it's great to get out, enjoy life, and see what's going on in the neighborhoods and farther afield. And, you know, as I was riding around, I was noticing quite a few realtor signs, houses listed for sale out there. We're seeing a lot of activity here in North Texas. I'm seeing a lot of construction. We just drove up one of the main thoroughfares, 121, you know, Sam Rayburn Tollway, north up through Frisco, up through towards the Stonebriar Mall, if you know what I'm talking about. Tons of construction still going on. We've got a lot of activity, so it's a good time. It really is a good time to be investing, to be buying rental real estate. And I want to make today's show more of a practical show. What I really want to do is get into the P&L, right? There's an acronym for you, the P&L, the profit and loss statement, right? I want to talk in particular about cash flow, that yields at the end of that P&L for us, right? Cash flow and in particular, optimizing cash flow. Okay. And throughout the show, we're going to make sure that you pick up on some key terms and acronyms as well. You may know these. You may have heard them in passing. A lot of investors throw them around nowadays without thinking about them. But if you're newer, you may not know what they mean. And I want to be sure that you do pick up on those. For example, PITI. What is that? Well, it represents our biggest fixed costs. And of course, thinking about cash flow, how do we optimize those big expenses, right? That's the target of the show today is that optimization and just generally what can I do to improve my cash flow. So this will be a little bit more focused on the single family investor. If you're catching the show for the first time, I operate in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and I have been buying, my wife and I, for a little over 8 years now, single family houses. That's what we put into our portfolio as rentals, and it's done us very, very well. Right. I know a lot of investors that invest solely in single family, but of course at Lifestyles Unlimited, we also have investors that go a totally different path, which is the multifamily path. Both work. Both are great. And there will be some takeaways today for a multifamily investor as well. So let me give you, this is a live show. Let me give you the number here in the studio. If you've got any questions on cash flow, right, on investing in rental real estate, give me a call here. The number is 855-497-4335. Again, that's 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. I check that throughout the show. Again, that's askandy@luinc.com. I want to open by reminding you of Dell's three rules for investing. Dell Walmsley, he's the founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, founded it 30 years ago. Hard to believe. We've been around for a while. We've got close to 50, I think around 50,000 members strong now. Seen a lot of history, a lot of investing going on within our group. But Dell's got three primary rules, and I just want to remind you of what those are. And one of those will tie into the show today. Number one, never lose money. And what he's talking about in particular is don't lose your principal, right? You put your money into a deal. You want to get that money out and then some, of course. But once you lose your principal, it's hard to then make that back, right? And part of the way that we do that at Lifestyles Unlimited is we make sure that we buy right. We buy deals that fit our model, right, that are going to give us a little bit of equity capture, or maybe a lot of bit of equity capture, so that we're not sacrificing principal. You know, and if I think about principal, I have to wonder how many people have lost their principal of late in places like the stock market. I mean, looking back at the historical track timeline, the market's about where it was 2.5 years ago. So even if you didn't lose principal, you've certainly lost time, and you're not going to get that back. So never lose money. Rule number one. Rule number two. Must cash flow. The deal must cash flow. Simply put, we need the cash flow to survive. This is our model, right? This is what we live off of. The cash flow that we take from our rental real estate, that's what replaces our earned income from that job, from that job, right? That cash flow, that passive income, is what lets us retire early. That's why we do what we do, to create that lifestyle, that freedom, right? Again, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. But we do have to have that cash flow. If the deal doesn't cash flow out the door, don't do it. And again, that's why I want to focus on cash flow on today's show. Rule number two, must cash flow. Rule number three, you can't get rich slow. Just ask yourself the question, has what I've been doing for the last 5 years or even longer made me a millionaire? Has it made you a millionaire? If not, then what you're doing is not working. And again, to take the message a step further, you know, you can't get rich slow. You buy a house, don't just sit on it ad infinitum, right? You need to turn those properties, move from one rental into two, into four, into 10, right? Or make that jump into multifamily. Or in my case, what we're doing right now with some of our properties, we're looking to do a cash out refinance on a few of those. The rates are in the basement. They are so low. And we've got some equity. We've built up some equity in these over the past few years. So we want to cash out and get into more properties or get into multifamily. Right? But you can't get rich slow. So you need to keep moving. Don't just park that money and sit and wait. You need to stay active with it. But again, we're going to focus today on cash flow. But I do also want to remind you that we don't just make money with the cash flow. We make money five ways in real estate with single family houses. Cash flow is the big one, right? That we're going to focus on in today's show. But don't forget, there's that equity capture. Again, going back to rule number one, we're buying right. Right? We're buying right. We're buying at a discount. The assets that we're taking down are typically in need of some repair and some work. They're distressed in some way. And because of that, we are getting those at a discount and capturing equity at the outset, maybe with some rehab, of course, involved. And of course, we then put some residents into that property, that house, those multifamily apartments, and they're paying that mortgage for us, right? So we've got that equity pay down over the years. They're paying that for us. We're capturing that equity month after month, year after year. It's very quiet. It works in the background. But when you total it up at the end of the year, at the end of, you know, a couple of years, it's pretty significant. And of course, natural market appreciation, right? We've seen tremendous appreciation here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I sit down, in Austin, Houston, San Antonio, around Texas, around the nation. And that's going to continue. Now, it's moderated a bit. It's moderated a bit. It will continue, and we'll experience that. We'll build our wealth through appreciation as well. And finally, there are tax advantages. Now, I didn't talk about the forced appreciation in apartments. We may touch on that a little bit later. That's the sixth way if you get into multifamily. But anyhow, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk about that cash flow. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. This is Andy Webb, and we'll be right back.
Del Walmsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, we're focused on cash flow, optimizing cash flow, because we buy rental real estate to create that cash flow, that passive income, to help us retire early from that job. Right? Or to supplement our income. If you're just getting started, one or two houses is not going to retire you, but it's going to put you on that path. And before you know it, you'll have 8, you'll have 10, you'll have 15, and you'll be saying sayonara to that job because you've created that passive income that's meeting or exceeding your expenses. You don't need the job anymore. That's what we do. So we're focused on the cash flow. Now, again, as we were saying just ahead of the break, that's not the only way that we make money in real estate. That's the beauty of real estate investing, is there are so many pieces in motion there, right? There's the cash flow, of course, but there's that equity capture. There's the equity buildup through the mortgage pay down that our residents are paying on our behalf. That's fully covered through the rents. There's that market appreciation. There are those tax advantages. So we're not going to focus on those today. The focus is just on cash flow. I do want to give you the number here in the studio. If you've got any questions, it's 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. And again, rule number two, Dell's rules to investing. Rule number two, must cash flow, right? The deal has to cash flow out the door. You hear about people on the coast that buy for appreciation. That is purely speculation. I'm going to buy this asset here on the West Coast that's going to cost me an arm and a leg out the door anyhow. I'm going to be making negative income. In other words, I'm paying every month to retain this thing in hopes that it goes up in value. Now, those markets are extremely volatile on the coast. We don't really see that here in Texas, which is why it's such a great market for investing, which is why we have people from either coast investing here in the first place, because they know this is the place to come for cash flow. So you must cash flow. Well, how do you know if a deal is going to cash flow? Well, let's get down to fundamentals. The best thing you can do is analyze the deal before you buy it. I know a lot of people that shoot from the hip. They see a deal. It looks pretty. They think about what they've seen on HGTV. They go buy it. You know, shoot first, ready, what is it, fire, ready, aim. Take some time and think about the deal. Is it actually going to cash flow? Now, don't overanalyze it for the type B personalities out there. I'm one of you, and I have to struggle with this at times. My wife is on the spectrum a little bit closer to type A, and we work well together because she can sometimes help me get over that hump if it's holding me back. Now, over the years, I've really relaxed that B, that type B mentality, and you can learn to develop that as well. But if you are a type B, don't overanalyze, right? You just need to get to the basics, to the fundamentals. What are the rents? What is that asset going to rent for? That is the big driver of your cash flow, isn't it? That's your revenue. And really, you need to look at those fixed costs. The first acronym, I mentioned this in the first segment, PITI. What is that? You may have heard that. PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Those are your fixed costs as a real estate investor. Now, some of those are truly fixed if you're financing correctly. Some of those are not quite fixed. We'll talk about that here in a moment. They may change over time. And I'm talking, of course, about taxes and insurance. And if you're like me, you've been watching your property taxes go up year after year after year, but our valuations have been going up as well. I mean, I can't fault the county appraisal districts for that, but you can do something to fight that and to optimize that. But fundamentally, you're going to look at those fixed costs, that PITI, you're going to look at your rents. So what are the rents in the area that you're investing in or that you want to invest in? How do you figure that out? Well, you're going to need access to some sort of local comp tool, some sort of way to get to see what have the houses in that area, those apartments leased for, right? Texas is a non-disclosure state. That information is not just fundamentally published anywhere. So you'll need access to a realtor that can run those leased comps for you. So you can see that the house next door that's also a rental leased for $1,400 and the one down the road, $1,500. Yours is, yeah, you're going to fix it up. It's going to be about the same as those. So maybe you do it for $1,450, right? But you need to know what houses in the area are renting for. Get with a realtor. If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, we've got Quest. That's our tool that gives us access to both lease comps as well as sold comps. So we can go in and see what those houses leased for. I don't have to take the time of a realtor. I don't have to depend on a realtor. I can go ahead and get in there and do that myself. If you want to look at Zillow for rents, you can see what's on the market. A lot of landlords, rental owners, they will blaze their own trail. They're going to do it themselves. They're going to post their listings to places like Craigslist, to Zillow, Hotpads, stuff like that. So you'll be able to see what they have listed actively. You're not going to know what it leased for at the end of the day, but that will give you at least a temperature check, okay? So that's for your rents. Now, second acronym I want you to take away today is ARV. ARV, that stands for after repair value. We need to know when we buy this house that needs some loving, some fixing up, we need to know after we give it that loving, what's the value going to be at the end of the day? Well, again, to get to that, I need to know what similar houses, right? If all those houses that I'm looking around me have granite, and that's what I'm going to do is go and put in granite and the hardwood floors and redo the paint and everything, brushed nickel fixtures, what did they value at when they sold? That's my benchmark. Well, in order to get to that again, I need to get to those sold comps. Use a realtor. If you're a Lifestyles member, get into Quest. Don't use Zillow for this particular part of the process. Zillow gives you that Z estimate. It's nice and packaged with a bow for you, but it's all over the place. And just in my experience, I would recommend that you stay away. So you need to know the revenues. You need to know that value. Why do you need to know that value? Because that's going to drive your mortgage and your mortgage payment. And that's one of your big fixed costs. So what do the annual property taxes look like? You need to get a handle on that. Best way to do that, you can look at those sold comps and see what the similar houses had for their tax non-exempt tax payment. The realtor should be posting that. Don't rely on that 100%. You know, realtors make mistakes in my experience, but you can also go to your local CAD or County Appraisal District. There's another acronym for you, CAD, the CAD or the County Appraisal District. They'll give you the value of the houses and then go to the tax assessor to get the millage rate. That's basically the percentage rate that's applied for each of the taxing entities in that district, right? The hospital, right? The community college, the county, the city, whatever else, the school district, obviously don't forget that. That's a big one. You can calculate that. Or if you've been doing this long enough, you'll start to get a feel for that. You may just apply a 3% approach for Texas, right? Look at what the average rate is in the area. But I encourage you strongly to be realistic. If that property that you are buying is in the hands of an owner occupant right now, and it's homesteaded. That means that the county's not been able to increase their property value more than 10% per year. Once it changes hands and you become the owner, that homestead falls away, and they can take that thing up 30, 40, 50, 60%. I had a couple go up 80% last year until we protested the values back down. So look at that property tax, because that's a big number, right? We'll talk about percentage of revenue here in a second. And of course, insurance. That's the other big ticket fixed item. How do you, you know, what do you anticipate insurance costing you? And I'll tell you, once you've built up a portfolio in an area, you're going to have a feel for this, but best thing you can do is talk to your insurance agent. Just send them a quick email, property address, age of roof, you know, square footage, that sort of thing. And they'll be able to give you a pretty close number fairly quickly. And, you know, some components of your insurance policy may look a little bit different than your regular homeowners. You may have loss of rents in there. A lot of lenders require that. It's going to cost you a little bit extra. You may have higher liability coverage in there. We put an umbrella policy on our properties. Most investors do. That requires higher liability coverage, so you got to keep an eye on that. Look at days on market as well, just to round out the discussion of analyzing before buying. How long is it taking to get those houses leased? You want something that's going to move fairly quickly. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to get into revenue and optimizing that revenue, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. This is Andy Webb, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
So in the business of rental real estate, it's a pretty simple, really a simple model. And that's one of the things I like about it. Its simplicity makes it very repeatable, which is what allows us to grow that portfolio fairly quickly. Remember, you don't get rich slow, but you can grow it fairly quickly because it's very easy to learn. You learn those acronyms, PITI, ARV, CAD, right? You start to learn the vocabulary, you learn the model, and you really start to move fast. And before you know it, you've accrued that cash flow. And over the course of time, you're going to want to focus on optimizing that cash flow as well. There are certain pressures on the business. Like I said, though, it's a fairly simple business. There's not a lot of moving parts, say like a big company, a big corporation where you're doing cost accounting and, you know, you got the variable expenses. The more widgets you make, the more labor you have, the more materials you have going into those widgets and so on and so forth. Ours is fairly straightforward, and that makes it very easy to manage. You know, it makes it very easy to manage. So we're talking cash flow. Now, if you've got any questions today, the number is 855-497-4335. You can call here in the studio. The number is 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. And ahead of the break, we were just saying, you know, before you get into that property, do your due diligence. That's what it amounts to. Do your analysis. Don't go type B personality, overblown, overthinking, overanalyzing, but just do a basic run of the numbers. What's the rent in the area? What are your fixed costs going to be? Based on the end value when you fix up the house, you know what your mortgage level is going to be, your mortgage, your loan amount. So you can calculate based on your numbers from your lender, what's my PI, my principal and interest, my mortgage payment going to be? What are the taxes for the area? What is the insurance? It's that simple. Now let's talk about optimization revenue, right? Let's focus on that big piece first of all. That's our rents and a couple of other sundry items as well. And obviously over time, you want to keep an eye on your market rents. You want to reevaluate those annually, right, when that lease term comes up, and raise them accordingly. I see a lot of people that don't do that. They get complacent. They're scared that person's going to move, and then they may have to re-lease the house. Don't be scared. The market's very, very tight right now. I just leased a couple of houses of our own. People moved out. They bought houses. The market's active, like I said at the start of the show. Good for them. We leased them in no time because there's not much inventory out there. So people get a little bit scared, but you can raise the rents, and you should. Because you have countervailing pressures that are acting as well. We'll talk about those. Exercise your judgment. You don't have to be at the very, very tip-top peak, right? We talk about best product, best price for a reason. That keeps people in place and that keeps them coming. Now, when you do go to raise that rent, be sure to observe the local state requirements in terms of notification. How many days notice do you need to give? And it should state that in your lease as well. So obviously, keep that rent moving up. Something else you can do, pet fees and pet rent. Now, some people will charge a security deposit for the pet, but you can charge an outright fee as well. A fee, different than a deposit, is non-refundable. You can do both, right? You have the flexibility. You're the business owner in this case. And pet rent, you know, I know some people that charge $10 a month per pet, some that charge $25. Those animals, they're going to do some damage and you need to cover that. Some don't, some do, right? But get that into your rent. That's a way to increase your revenue, right? Now, remember, we're talking about pets. You cannot charge pet fees, pet deposit, pet rent for service animals or emotional support animals. All right, so if somebody comes to you and applies and has a service animal or an ESA, right, another acronym for you, an emotional support animal, make sure you get proper documentation. Make sure you have a process in place to handle that documentation up front. We've done earlier shows on this topic. And again, just remember, you can't charge a rent for that or a deposit or a pet fee. Now, you can charge a security deposit in general, right? And this can be a revenue generator. Enforce your lease. When at the end of that lease term that resident moves out, if they have done damages, billable damages, not wear and tear, but actual damages that you have to repair, charge it back. Remember, this is a business. You're not here to be Mr. Nice Guy. And again, just like with the rent, I don't want to raise the rent. You know, yeah, I like that family. It's a business. That's you got to get that emotion out of it. Okay. Now here too, if you're going to be charging against the security deposit, observe your state code. If you're listening in Texas, you've got 30 days to do the accounting and all that good stuff and see what's in your lease as well. If you're outside of Texas, you'll have to do a little bit of research and see what the requirements are there. But it's perfectly legitimate to charge back, you know, against that hole in the sheetrock. That wasn't there when you moved in. I've got pictures. You didn't notate it on the inventory and condition form, the move-in form. So certainly we'll charge that back. Okay, we need to cover our basis. And you know, I debated whether to put this under revenue or expense, but let's just mention vacancy now, and we'll circle back if we have time. Minimizing vacancy is a way to increase your revenue, obviously. Vacancy in and of itself is essentially an expense, right? It's when that tenant has moved out, and now it takes you, let's say, a couple of weeks to get the next family in. That couple week period, that's the vacancy period. You're absorbing costs during that time. Your taxes and insurance, they're accruing over those days, your mortgage as well. So there's an inherent cost there. I think of it as revenue to keep those people in place, but we can debate that. Now, if you're looking at apartments, there's a lot more you can do with apartments in terms of revenue, right? Think about utilities. In single family houses, we're typically having the owner or the residents take the utilities in their name. We're out of that. You should be out of that. In apartments, you may be billing back. You may have, you know, a master meter for electrical or for the water or for trash, right? Well, a lot of savvy investors are going to implement something called RUBS. Here we go, another acronym, right? That stands for Resident Utility Billing System. I've also heard it called Ratio Utility Billing System. But in a nutshell, it simply means that we're going to take that cost of the utilities. We're going to prorate it across those 10 apartments, those 20 apartments, those 50 apartments, those however many it is, and charge that back to the resident, right? It's not going to be down to the penny, but it's going to be a billing system that allows us to pass back at least some of those costs. You can do that for utilities. You can do that for pest control. You can do that for the trash fees. We lived in an apartment down the road here for a number of years, about a decade or so ago, and we had to pay all of those costs. We got a bill every month alongside our rent. That was the RUBS. Right? You can add, if you're thinking about apartments, add or upgrade a utility room. That's a classic one. Right? Now, if you've inherited a service contract for an existing utility room, you're going to want to get out of that. But look at adding one. If you don't have one, look at upgrading it. Instant revenue to your bottom line. And we know with apartments, they're valued differently than houses. We can really increase our net worth by optimizing these revenues. Right? When that cash flow gets increased, that's a multiplier to the value, to the net worth, right? To the value of the property. One other thing I would add for apartments, you know, if you're looking at getting into small multifamily in particular, you'll see a lot of mom and pop operators out there. They may take a unit and use it for an office, or they may take a unit and use it for storage. I remember seeing a case study from a fellow investor that bought up a little north of town. They had 3 units offline for storage, for junk, basically, because, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, going to use the stuff at some point. Our investor bought it, cleared out the junk, converted those back to revenue producing units, and again, drove cash flow to the bottom line, which drove the value of that apartment up. So just a couple of things. Now, we talk about a lot of different ways in apartments that you can increase that cash flow, 28 different ways. I went through the Financial Freedom Program recently, the seminar, the 2-day seminar, and that was part of the top, you know, one of the topics was the various ways that you can increase that cash flow. That's something you should check out. Let me give you the website. It's financialfreedomlivestream.com. You can go there to learn more about the Financial Freedom Program. The seminar, it's huge. It's 2 days talking about single family on one day, multifamily on the next. You'll learn about these different levers that I'm touching upon here today, but you'll get into a little bit more detail. You'll learn about, you know, optimizing your cash flow, how to figure out those rents. You'll go into a little bit more detail there, how to figure out those costs and so on. So check out financialfreedomlivestream.com. You can see when we've got the next sessions coming up. Now, hear the music coming on. When we come back, I want to shift gears from revenue. Obviously, that's the big number for us. That's our rents primarily. And I want to get into the cost side, because that's something you don't want to neglect. You do want to optimize those costs as best you can. And we'll dive into that in the last segment. So stay tuned. You are listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We'll be right back.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and on today's show, we are focused on our cash flow. We want to optimize that cash flow. If you missed any of the earlier show, be sure to go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab. The shows are archived there. And we focus so far just generally on analysis, because before you even buy the deal, you can determine whether it is even optimal for your goals, right? Is it going to cash flow? Remember, rule number 2, it must cash flow. Don't buy it if it doesn't. So we determine that up front. We run our numbers, and we're pretty spot on, if not a little bit conservative sometimes. Not type B, overthinking, over conservative, don't do the deal, right? Don't go down that path. Be realistic. But we took a look then on the latter segment also at revenue, because that's going to be our cash driver, right? Our rents, maybe pet rents, maybe pet fees, maybe charges to a security deposit. Again, you can check that out at lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the radio tab. Now I want to shift gears and focus on the cost side. I'll focus principally on the fixed costs. Even though they're fixed, you do have a little bit of control and you can optimize those. And if we've got time, we'll get into some of what I'll call the variable costs. Now, we introduced the acronym earlier in the show, PITI. If you're not familiar with that, there's a lot of acronyms that fly around in any business, and we have them in real estate as well. PITI stands for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Obviously, principal and interest, we commonly call the mortgage. When we buy at Lifestyles Unlimited, the model that we follow, we buy houses that are and apartments that are distressed. Maybe, you know, if we're talking about houses, they need some level of work. We're commonly buying with hard money, because a conventional lender won't finance them due to it's not insurable for them. We'll fix it up, and then we'll refinance out into a long-term loan. That's that principal and interest. And that's when we're going into a 30-year term. That's going to be the optimal to get you the best cash flow. If you do a 15-year term, right, your mortgage is going to be higher. Your cash flow is going to be lower. Sure, you'll be out of that mortgage sooner, but we call that debt equity. In fact, the cash buyer is going to say, this doesn't even apply to me. Principal and interest, I'm a cash buyer. But we'd say, hey, you're kind of a, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a fool. It seems like a conservative play, but it's anything but. What is your return on equity? It's negligible. We call that debt equity. You're starting the day with debt equity. Now, over time, as we at Lifestyles Unlimited, as we pay down our mortgages, as our residents do, we accrue more and more of that debt equity. At some point, it's time to sell or refinance, right? Do a cash out refi, pull some money out. Now's a great time. The rates are in the basement. So start to think about that if you've got that debt equity. But to that cash buyer, I have to ask, what's more conservative, putting $100,000 into one house, collecting one rent with one set of tenants or residents, or taking that $100,000 and spreading it across four, five, maybe more houses? You got to remember, we make money five ways in real estate. By spreading it out, we're getting more cash flow. We're getting more rents. We're getting more equity capture on the outset, right? We're getting more equity buildup. Of course, that's part of the mortgage. And more appreciation. Your money will grow faster when you spread it around. Seems more conservative to go into that cash deal, but you're spreading your risk across multiple houses this way as well. So keep that in mind, cash buyer. And I looked at my portfolio. I'm just kind of curious, from a benchmark perspective, the average for my properties, if I take the mortgage, the principal and interest, as a percentage of the gross rents, I'm right around 37%. Now, this is by far the highest of my three fixed costs, right? Principal and interest being one, taxes and insurance. Now, as I go through and refi these properties or sell and buy a new one, values are up. Therefore, my mortgage is inherently going to be up. Therefore, that percentage will increase over time. But if I think about the bigger picture, that's perfectly okay because I'm taking that money now and adding more assets to the portfolio, just like I told the cash buyer they should be doing. More cash flow, more net worth, more growth. Right. So how do you optimize a fixed cost like a mortgage? Well, I would tell you, buy assets that are under a certain value to start with. We're not doing $500,000 houses because those mortgages are going to be insane. Right. We like something south of 200K, ideally. 150K used to be my sweet spot. It's eased up a little bit as values have. But make sure you're buying under a certain value so that your mortgage is inherently below a certain level. And big thing to do, shop your rates. Do not work with those big banks. They're not going to give you a good rate. You use a mortgage banker that's in the industry, right? That is fluent in the jargon we talk about. They know, you know, they're investors too. They're going to give you good rates, or find a mortgage broker. A broker's going to shop the loan and work on your credit score. Know what your credit score is. The higher that credit score, the lower your interest rate will be. That's how you optimize your payment to principal and interest. So talk to your lender, right? See where you're at with your credit score. See what kind of rate you can get now and work on that. If you don't have a lender, if you are a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, if you are a member of the Financial Freedom Program, get out there to the Vendor Hub. We got a ton of lenders out there for you to talk to. Talk to multiple and see what you need to do to optimize, right? Typically, it's going to be credit score. Typically, it's going to be the end value on that property. Taxes. This is a big ticket item here in Texas as well. Not quite as big as the mortgage, but here again, I looked at across our portfolio. Right now, again, taking the annual property tax as a percentage of the annual gross rents, average for me is right about 22%. I've talked to other investors. They're getting closer to 30%. You know, again, this is an average. My low is 17%. Well, that's the house that I just bought where I paid rock dollar and protested the value down to that purchase price. So that's going to pull the average down. The high side, 26%, just to give you an idea. So what do yours look like? Again, that's annual property tax as a percentage of your gross rent. And how do you optimize that? Simply put, and the window may be passed for you, protest those values every year. Right, we've done a ton of shows in the recent past on protesting property taxes. Again, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, find those in the archives, check those out. The window has closed for most county appraisal districts. I have two, actually, personally, that are my protest window ends tomorrow, so I will be doing a little homework today, getting that done online. It's been an interesting year with COVID-19. I'm used to going down and haggling and working with the appraisers informally, person, you know, mano a mano, but that's not happening this year. So that's still underway for me. You know, I'll tell you, I had one property. They took it up $10,000 on the value side. I got them to take it then down $20,000. They took it up $10,000. I took it down $20,000. Now, this was out in a rural county. The sales comps actually supported this maneuver, but you've got to learn how to protest those taxes or have somebody do it for you. It's very easy. But that's a big ticket number as well, but you can optimize that. And finally, insurance. In percentage terms, it's not that big. And I hate it when I get the bill. I hate it when I have to pay that bill. But again, looking across the portfolio, on average, I'm probably right about 7%. Again, insurance premium for the year relative to the gross rents on that property, the range is somewhere between 5 and 10%. Now, I will tell you, that we talk about at Lifestyles Unlimited. Here's a couple more acronyms for you. RCV versus ACV, replacement cost value versus actual cash value. These are two different policy types that you can get in Texas. Replacement cost value, that's what we put on our properties. That's what most people at Lifestyles Unlimited will do. It's going to cost you a little bit more, but if something happens, they're going to cover the whole cost with replacement costs. That's the nature of it. If we're talking actual cash value, they're going to go and look at that roof. And if it's a 20-year roof that's already 10 years into their life, they're only going to give you the balance, that remaining 10 years in terms of the payout. So there's a little bit more risk with actual cash value. You know, given where we sit in North Texas and the amount of hail we get here, it's better to go with that replacement cost and know that I'm going to get the full roof funded if and when we get that hail. I've actually got a roof going on at a property here in the next month where we took the hail damage, right? Replacement cost value, it's covered. How do you optimize that insurance? Well, keep the house in good shape. By the way, when we get that new roof in there, I'll then go back to that insurance provider and say, here's a new roof. They will then reduce my premium. Big message here as well on insurance. Don't go with a captive agent. You know, I'm thinking, you know, companies like Farmers. They only sell the Farmers product. Here as well, you want to go with a broker because that broker is going to shop around for you. They're going to pull. They're going to check everything in the market and find the best deal for you. That's how you optimize. Don't be afraid to change from insurance company A to insurance company B to get that better premium. You know, shop every year if you have to. Now, be informed. Is it a good company? Are they, you know, is it A-rated? And your insurance broker will know all of that. But shop it every year. That's how you minimize, optimize that expense. Maintenance. A lot of people think maintenance is a big ticket item. I'll tell you what. This is one of those variable costs. And the way we approach our renovations, our business model at Lifestyles Unlimited, our motto is simply put, best product, best price. When we see a house that needs some work, we go in and fix or replace everything up front. Maintenance becomes a non-issue. We've already handled that before we move that person in on day one. My maintenance calls are minimal. My cash flow is optimized already out the door. We roll the cost of repairing that house into the loan and it's done. That's the Lifestyles model. So we've talked today about optimizing that cash flow because cash flow is what we want to see. That's what we're going to live off of. Rule number two, if it doesn't cash flow, don't buy it. All right. If you want to learn more, like I said, go check out financialfreedomlivestream.com. We've got some dates coming up here in mid-July, late July, early August. I want you to check that out. Again, that's financialfreedomlivestream.com. This is Andy Webb. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, and I thank you for listening. Have a great day. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.